Lord, you are the God today that hears our cry. No matter how long we've served you, long or short, you hear our cry. And Lord, even when we're in the downs and outs and we don't think you're hearing us, you hear our cry. You've not left us. You're perfecting us. Thank you, Lord. Well, today, we're going to go on a journey. And you guys are going to be happy to go on this journey. We left off last week a little bit about this and sharing about how let God promote you, right? Let God promote you. And it's usually at the thing I ended on last week, the last two sentences in my page 3 says, it will usually come after a time of being in a wilderness season. How many are excited to go to that wilderness season today? The very challenges that you have endured is what generally will prepare you for God's promotion that he has for you. The wilderness season. So that's where we left off last week. And so today, where else could I go but to the wilderness? When you are in that time of being in the wilderness, or some could say, well, we're in the desert. Don't use that time to complain. Now, how many here will complain? I will. I'm in the wilderness. I'm in the desert. Hell, do you hear me, Lord? I mean, look at that. We had talked about Psalms 88 back in the fellowship hall. What a psalm. This is like a doom and gloom psalm. But, you know, it's the importance of what you learn, though, in that time of wilderness and desert. Don't use that time to complain, but use it as a learning time to gain experience, to get closer to God, because God wants to get closer to you, and allowing him to speak into your life and to direct you into that next phase of your journey with him. He's only doing that to prepare you for his journey that he has for you. So we're going to go to Numbers. We're going to look in chapter 13. It's going to kind of look at that area. So when God is about to move you to your next destination on this journey in his kingdom here upon this earth, he's moving you into his kingdom here upon this earth. You have two ways to view your pending move. We find a wonderful example in God's word to show us the two ways that you can view your journey. Numbers 13 will speak to how you can get two different views of what lies before you. So we will look at a positive report as well as negative reports. So now in Numbers 13, it's a familiar point of verses and parts of the Bible. We know that the spies had been sent into Canaan. It says, and the Lord in verse 1, Numbers 13, speaks to Moses saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, every one, a leader among them. And so it says in 3 at the very beginning, so Moses sent them from the wilderness. So he sends them on now. In verse 17, it picks up, I believe, here. It goes through the people of the tribes and the families that were sent. In 17, then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, go up this way into the south and go up to the mountains and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabited are like camps or are they strongholds. Verse 20, whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there are forest there or not. Be of good cheer, or be of good courage, and bring some of the fruit of the land, because now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes. And verse 21, they take off. So they went up and they spied out this land. And it describes 21, 22, where they're going and they're traipsing through. They're spying it out like they've been asked to do. They get into this valley, and there they cut down a branch, is it Ishkol, where they cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes. They carried it between the two of them on a pole. Sounds like a pretty hefty vine. They also brought some of the pomegranates and the figs. And in verse 25, it says, "And they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. They departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel." Okay. "And they brought the word back to them, to all the congregation, and they showed them the fruit of the land." They brought back what they had found because they were told to bring back grapes, bring back figs. The season was that time of time to where they should be available. And then they told them in verse 27, "We went to that land where you sent us, and it truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit." When it says flowing with, it would be like that of has an abundance of food. Now that sounds like a good place to go, right? It's flowing with milk and honey. It's good food. It's there. But verse 28 says, "Nevertheless, the people who dwell in that land, they're strong. The cities they have are fortified, and they're very large." We saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, Canaanites, they all dwell in this land. And verse 30 says, "And then Caleb, he quieted the people before Moses, and he says to them, 'Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it.'" And here in 31, "But the men who had gone with him said, 'We are not able to go up against these people, for they are stronger than we are.' And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, 'The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature.' There we saw the giants, who we are like grasshoppers in their own sight, and so we were in their sight." So they're comparing themselves to grasshoppers, like little grasshoppers, like we are little, man, compared to what we're seeing there. Now, when we look at how Caleb says, "We are well able to overcome it," to be able to have power, having the capacity to prevail or to succeed. This is what he is saying in this word, "we're able to." In the English word, it could be, say, "We can overcome it. We could overtake it. It is able." In Ephesians 8:6, this word "able" is translated as "endure." We can endure it. We can overcome it. Put at this point, "we are able" is basically saying we can handle it. Even though I saw the same thing, Joshua and Caleb, they saw the same thing, but they had a different perspective. So it's where is your perspective when God puts you into a time of a desert, of preparation? And we'll not get into it, but you know, they were out there for 40 years. And it was basically because of their inability to obey God, the fathers, mothers of the older generation there, they always went back. God would do a wonderful thing. They were happy. They, "Oh, praise God." And then it wasn't long they fell back into their old ways. And then they got mad at God. And then they complained. And then they murmured. And then they cried out, "Why did you send us through here to kill us? You should have left us where we were at." And so with that kind of taking place, God is saying, "Okay, these people aren't going to go through I'm not taking them to the promised land. Well, they're going to stay in this desert or this wilderness for 40 years until that generation dies out. And I'm going to take the younger group in because they're more fitting for it." So you've got to be careful when you're in your wilderness that you're not doing this complaining to the point of when you see the blessings of God, you're Yahoo. And then when something hits you, you're like, thanks, God, that was really good. Why? It is a continuation of God showing himself to you in all of those circumstances, the good and the bad, because if it was not for the bad situations, you would not see the goodness of God prevailing through the bad. If everything was good all the time, you would just say it's good all the time. Now, there's a song of things out there, God is good all the time. And God is good all the time. But it's when we are going through these ups and downs, life, things of learning and growing and developing. What God sees in us, he says, to get that out of you, Tim, I've got to put you through this. But if you stick with this and you stick with me, you will come through this and you will learn and you will see and you will understand my plan that I have for you. But that's our life of today. So then we get into 14. And it says, now all the congregation, they lifted up their voices and they cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel, they complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation says to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt. Lord, if you would have just let me alone back in 1993, if you would have just left me alone. If only we had died in that wilderness. Verse 3, why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword that our wives and our children should become victims? Would it be better for us to just return to Egypt? Let's go back to where we came from. How many here in your walk with God, it seems like the going get tough and the tough what? You either get going or you stop or you turn around and you go back where it's easier to be. Let's return back to Egypt. And so in verse 4, they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. And then Moses and Aaron, they fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. But then in verse 6, but Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out, they were the ones also that spied out this terrible land, but this good land. This land with milk and honey, but they had large people, giants. They tore their clothes, and they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we have passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. The land that we passed through is exceedingly good. If the Lord delights in us, if the Lord delights in you here today, then he will bring you into the next level that he has for you. But it says here, he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Look at all of this and what they're talking about, milk and honey, promised land. Look at it for your life of today and what you're in and going through and what God has planned and prepared for you. No matter where we're at, and I look across, and many of us would be in different places of the wilderness, maybe. We are all dealing with things in this life. But we've got to know that God didn't bring us out to this point in our life to leave us here to say, well, I'm so glad you accepted my son, Jesus Christ, as your Lord and Savior, and it's been a good ride for the last 20, 30 years, 10 years, 5, whatever. But you know what? You're on your own now. Figure it out. God is not like that. He picks you up from the very day of salvation. Like back at that Psalms 88, oh God of my salvation. But then he went on to blunder away like, why am I dying? I'm in the grave. It feels like this. It feels like that. But back in our day when we received salvation, God then lifted us up out of that. He lifted me out of the miry clay. And now I'm in his hand, the palm of his hand, which he says, no one, nothing can take you out of the palm of my hand. But you can leave my grip. But God says, my grip upon you will not leave. choose this day, follow me, whatever the case might be. And so we're going through this life now, and we're dealing with all of these things, and I can look back at these people going through the wilderness and the desert and all of these problems that they had. But it's like that. If the Lord delights in Tim, then he will bring him into the next part of my development with him, and he will give me that land, that direction, that accomplishment, that achievement. And it's going to be flowing with milk and honey. Jeremiah 29, 11, 12, and 13. And you read that through there and it says, "For I have given you a plan and a purpose to prosper, to succeed." You can read it in different translations, but it's basically, I will help you succeed and prosper if you turn to me, if you pray to me, but more importantly, if you listen to me. I will hear your prayers, but you better be listening to what my responses are. It's the same for you today. It's the same for me today. I'm going through a journey, and I cry out. But I go through a hard time, but I know in God's word, he says he plans to prosper Tim. He plans to have Tim succeed. Now, what does all that mean? I don't know, other than I know to prosper does not mean to go down. I know to succeed does not mean to fail. And then I've got to figure it out, but it's in God's realm, and it's in God's heavens, it's in God's spirit, it's in the heavenlies and the spirit realm that I don't know. Yes, but I'm also to say that God is prospering me and preparing me and keeping me and blessing me and helping me succeed here upon this earth in my natural times. And it's an area that I look at that I know we deal with. That's not the battle. It's not against the flesh and blood. It's in the spirit. We get into all that. I know it's a spiritual thing and it's the kingdoms of heaven. But I also know that God does the miraculous and he heals and he provides and he prepares and he promotes us in this world that we live in today to accomplish what he has prepared for us, each and every one of us. And I pray that you enter into your land that is flowing with milk and honey, whatever that means. For the analogy of our today's, what does that mean? But I just know in God's word, he is saying that for these people there, you're getting ready to come out of the desert. I've prepared. You send the spies. They're going to come back and they're going to tell you. But the thing is, you're going to have 10 or so. They're going to come back and they're going to give you the negative. But there's only going to be 2 that see the positive. In your world of today, you will see a lot of people that will be on the negative side of things. And they don't see what you see. They don't hear what you hear. But they're not looking at it the way you're looking at it. You're looking at it because I've been serving God and living with God and having God in my life for all these years. I see, oh yeah, there's some danger there. Well, they got some fortified cities. They're this, they're bigger, whatever the case might be. But with my God, with my God, I will be victorious. Amen? Amen. This is exciting. I don't want to be in the desert and the wilderness, but it's exciting to be there because that's when you begin to really develop that time with God. Sometimes we're in that wilderness and that time of quiet time. That's when only God can have time to talk to you, to speak to you. It's only when we're going through a trial that we're actually looking for God, generally. But I want to be on that other side of that to where when I'm in a trial, I'm looking for God. When my life is going well and I'm succeeding, I'm looking for God. When I see the goodness of God in the good days and the bad days, all I see is what? God. I don't want to look at the problem. I want to look at God. Well, that's a pipe dream. No, it's not. It's faith. It's the faith building up. Rise up! The faith in you to meet these challenges. And I can't do it for you. You are the only one that is really holding your destiny. God has prepared the destiny for you. And he says, Here it is. Here it is. But you got to get your out of the seats and go get it. But there's a cliff there. There's a valley. I can't get there. I can't get up there to get that. And God says, I will get you over that. But the first thing you got to do, my child, is you got to get up. You got to have faith, to at least have faith to get up and put one foot in front of the other. And not go, well, I go this way and I see it and then I go, well, I don't know. Well, okay, I get all pumped up for God. Ooh, I get, you know, we get songs, we're all revved up. I never want to use song service and worship and things like that to tickle us to the point of just exciting our emotions. Our emotions are fickle. Once the songs go off and the music fades, you're in that world by yourself. Are you going to keep yourself strong? I will prevail through that of God. I am more than, oh, I'm a conqueror. You got to look at yourself, guys. Look at yourself in the mirror today when you get home. Sometime when you get out to your car, look in the mirror and say, I am a conqueror through Christ. Amen? Leave the parking lot not charged up on emotions, but charged up on your faith and who you are and what God sees in you and what he has planned for you. Okay, verse 8, if the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into this land and he will give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Verse 9, only do not rebel against the Lord. See, it's so easy to rebel against God. Do not rebel against God, nor fear the people of the land. Don't fear where God is placing you. And for they are our bread. They would be like, they shall be as food to our consumption. For they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them. They just don't know it yet. Could be that because they're all juiced up on pride. What I can do and we can do. I'm this Canaanite and Jezebite. Oh, I got all this. We can do it. We're big people. We're strong people. Look, we're fortified cities. Nobody has come into this land and taken it. Their protection has departed, he's telling them, from them. And the Lord is with us. Do not fear. We got to remember that the Lord is with us. And if God be with us, who and what can be against us? If we're obeying God and we're on God's mission and we're on God's timetable of accomplishing things, no matter what hell tries to prevail and put upon you and the enemy, the devil, or the generalities of just this world in general, no matter what it tries to put upon you, if the Lord is with you and he's got an assignment for you, you are going to fulfill it. It's going to be a battle, but then you're going to win it. Do not fear them. Here it is, though. Watch out now. There's going to be somebody around you. Look around. And all the congregation said to what? Stone them! These guys are wacky. These two people, get rid of them. And all the congregation says to stone them with the stones. But now here's where the good get good. Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of that meeting before all the children of Israel. And I guess where I'm looking at now is that verse 14:10. Those around them wanted to stone them. Yeah, big deal. But the power in it is now the glory of the Lord has shown. The glory of the Lord is there in that tabernacle. Numbers 14:10 in the New King James, and we just read it, okay. Now the Amplified will add this to it. And all the congregation said to stone them with stones. And now the glory or the brilliance of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the meeting before all of the children of Israel. So Numbers 14:10 describes a pivotal moment of the rebellion. That's what it was, a rebellion. Anybody here been in a rebellion? How about any of you been rebellion against that of God? So this 14:10 describes a pivotal moment of rebellion where this congregation of Israel is threatening to stone Joshua and Caleb for encouraging them to enter in to the land that God has for them. So there could be somebody around you that says, don't go, that's not, you're crazy. You sure? You're going to fail. You're not going to make it. Remember how many weeks back where when we get a hold of God and God's got a hold of us? And part of the one message was in regards to the plow, or no, not that, but before that, talking about you might have to set those people aside. You got to set apart family, friends, anything and everything that could detract from you accomplishing what God's plan is for you. It's a pivotal moment. In response to this defiance, the glory of the Lord immediately appears at the tent of the meeting. So when we look at that, and I'm going to open up that a little bit of glory here in just a little bit, but the threat, okay? The assembly that's meeting there now, they and it's not to say to deny it. I'm not to say to deny it. We're not into denial. It's like when people have a broken arm and I need God to heal it. You know, you can get some super, super duper spiritual people to say, that's not broke. It's just not working right. No, it's broke. We don't get into denial. Yes, this is broke. Yes, I've got an injury. Yes, I need this. I need that. I need a treatment. I need whatever the case is. I need medicine. I need whatever the case is. But then my healer is that of God. And so we don't want to deny the situation. We don't want to deny, yeah, I see that giant and I see that river. How are we going to cross it? Oh, wait. Strike it and then the waters will stop flowing and you will cross over it. We visually see in the natural all the obstructions that are within our lives, but God does the supernatural things that we don't understand at the time when he wants to do them to accomplish the task at hand to get us a moving. So the entire assembly, they lost their faith after that report from the spies. And they begin to rebel. We have people in churches rebel sometimes. Like, no, we don't want the church to do that. No, that, are you sure? Blah, 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 blah. And they talk about stoning them. Wow, your friends all of a sudden turn into your enemies, right? It's like, my gosh. We just sat at the table a couple of days ago eating bread and all, and now you're saying, stone them. Don't listen to them. Listen to us. We're the majority, and we're saying it's not good to go. Those are the minority. I'm going to tell you, when you're the minority, but when God is on your side, you're the majority. Hello, hello, hello. To God be the glory. We look at ourselves, and you go, I feel like I'm all alone. No, if you've got God, you've got everything you need. You are not alone. You are mightier than a force of 10,000. Or a million. I don't care. You put a number out there. But I'm going to tell you, with God, you will be strong. There's a divine intervention that we find in that 10, right? The glory of the Lord. Immediately after the threat, we find that the glory of the Lord appears before the people. What a time of things happening. You talk about things churning in the natural, right? You got like a meeting in this group, and this group, stone them, don't listen to them. We know what we saw. We're the 10, they're the 2, don't listen, blah, 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 blah. But these two are saying, but with God, we can prevail. With your situation today, if you got God, what? You will prevail. But it's just me. No, it's just you, but you got God. And all of his force, all of his angels, all of whatever he wants to exhume and to use for you, he will do. He loves you. The verse is part of a story of the Israelites' refusal to trust God and to take that land of Canaan, resulting them to continue to wander in the desert, in the wilderness for 40 years. 40 years. The scene here is representing a climax taking place within this whole time frame now. Because now they're there. I can see the land before me. We just need to cross over into it. So it's representing the climax of the Israelites' disobedience that they've had all of these 40 years where they prefer to die in the wilderness. Some people prefer to die just where they're at. I don't want to go any further. And no matter how much you try to help them, it's sad to say they're going to die where they're at. But the important thing is don't allow them to pull you down to where they're at, where they prefer to die rather than trust in the promise of God. There's a judgment. Following this, God is threatening to destroy the people with a plague. But Moses intercedes, and if you continue to read on, yeah, they were gone. Those that said, it's bad, don't go, he took care of them. He killed them. They disobeyed God. When you disobey God, now back in the Old Testament for sure, it was not going to end well with you. Probably unless you would have repented and asked for forgivenesses of things. But these people were so headstrong and so fixed on don't go, and they had their issues, and so God took those 10 out. Caleb and Joshua, they stand out for having a different spirit. Do you have a different spirit today than those around you that speak of problems and denials and whatever the case might be? They've got a spirit of trusting God. Where is your spirit? Does your spirit trust God? Does your spirit trust God even though the crowd or the majority around you says, I don't think that's the way? I don't think you should do that? Remember, quick, when I made my change of life and when God spoke to me, I remember to this day when he says, Tim, there will be your brothers and sisters in Christ that will say you're doing the wrong thing. He says you can't listen to them. Right? Now, they were meaningful, good, I'm sure. They were looking on the outside and saying this does not equate. You can't leave a career. You can't leave a steady income. You can't leave health insurance with four kids all still in school and to say, I'm throwing that all aside to serve you, God. But I guess back at that time, there was a promised land ahead of me. But I'm so thankful that God, and what he speaks to me, he will share with you. If you're doing these things, serving him. And I'm by no way an angel and perfect. But I am a guy that says, Lord, I'll listen to you. And if it resonates and I can feel a peace about it, and even though my wife doesn't have a peace, but Lord, if I can pray, Lord, the very peace I have, let her wake up the next morning with that peace. And she wakes up that next morning saying, I've got a peace. That's God. But God prepared me to say, don't be surprised if good people in your church at that time, wasn't this church, but it was people in the past time of my life that I would visit with. But he just told me, and it would have been here too. When we were attending here, this is where my decision was made. And there could have been people here. I didn't talk to anybody in this church. I did not even talk to the pastor about it. Is that wise or not? I don't know. Maybe it's good to say, have you talked to your pastor about what God's telling you? No. Because it's just like God and me. I didn't even talk to my wife about it. And she really was kind of interesting at that time, weren't you, honey? (Clears throat) It's like I was in that, I wasn't in a wilderness per se, but I was. But I was in a time with God in my life, in a very pivotal time. And I'm going. And I'm serving Him in church. I'm doing things. I enjoy it. Bible studies, leading worship, serving God. Hey, hallelujah. But God will do the same for you when He's got something for you. He's going to say, now, there's going to be people that you really respect, and they may speak negative about this, but be prepared, but don't listen to them. When a person has heard in their spirit and in their heart that they know they've heard from God, the person, even your spouse, will not hear the same thing. I didn't understand that. Because my conversations with God is saying, God, my wife is not understanding this. She's not going to go along with this. I thought when we got married, we became one. And we did. We became one. But yet, even in that oneness, it's an individuality with God. And so we've got to be listening by the spiritual ears and our spirit to hear what God is speaking to us individually. And I know, looking back, it could have caused a big riff. But in some ways and somehow, God was working within that situation with the family and my spouse and all of these things. I know that to be because I know God was going to prepare the way. And when God says it's time, you don't want to hold back. That song, I waited for the Lord on high. I waited and He heard my cry. I was crying out to Him. Not cry, but I was crying out to Him because of the decisions and the things that were going to be taking place. And we were not in the desert, but I was in that time of frame of God says, there's something I've got for you, my son. And He did say, I didn't have to go. And He would still bless me. But I was beginning to develop a relationship with Him that it meant more than anything in this world. And I didn't want to lose that. And I didn't want to hurt Him. I didn't want to leave Him. I was growing and developing in ways that I didn't understand with God through reading of the scriptures and as my spirit was beginning to come alive into His spirit. And for you today, many of us have waited for the Lord on high. And I waited, and He heard my cry. He pulled me out of my despair. I guess I was despair, but He pulled me out of where I was at in this world. And He showed me where to walk. Remember I said He showed me two doors, and He said, both of these doors are going to be okay for you. Which one do you want? I would not want to lose you, God. And I wouldn't lose God if I'd stayed with Walmart. But I wanted the things that God wanted. I wanted to please Him. And that's when He showed me where to walk. For I know the plans that I have for you, Tim, plans to succeed and not fail, to prosper. And when you pray or when you cry out to me, I will be there and I will hear you. If you search with all of your heart, Tim. And that's what I had to do. I had to search with all of my heart at that pivotal time in my life for God. My heart had to be opened. I love my wife, and I'm so thankful that she's stuck it out with me. It's been a work in togetherness and preparation. And He pulled me out of my despair. He showed me where to walk from fear into his security. And from that quicksand of life into that rock of him, you know? So it's like, yeah, I waited upon the Lord. And he heard my cry. So as we go through these times in serving him, he's going to ask you to do some things that I don't understand myself. But if it's the land that he's wanting to take you into, he will provide and he will opportunities will come up and things will develop and things will open up and doors will close and doors will open. Provisions will be made. Care will be taken. You name it. I don't care what it is. But if it's a God thing will fulfill itself. He's just looking for those that are saying, here am I. Here am I. Thank you, Lord. We're going to probably, I didn't even get to the glory part. I want to speak to that of the glory, of the things that God has. But as, you know, you can't share the things of God in your life, or you can't expect others in their lives to just go by what a person says, to where if I could stand before you to say, oh, I did this and I did that and God wanted me to step out, but I thought not and I just stayed where I was at and I was doing okay. And No. Testimony. And we all have that. God has that in you. And it's not to be a pastor. It's not to do anything, but it's to do the right thing. And that right thing is to serve him. And I'm going to tell you, you got to sell out for him. You cannot allow this world to hold you to, I need that finance. I need that health care. I see, my wife didn't realize that God was working on her. Probably, hon, a decade. Not per se, but God bless her for, I remember one time she says, we need to clear out these debts. And she was taking care of the books at that time. Now, once I stepped away from my job and all, she says, here, they're yours now. Didn't you, hon? She says, you're going to have to figure this out. Because we got this and that. But my wife prepared us because, and we weren't deeply in debt. We had a couple of little consumer debts and minimal charge cards and things. I mean, we weren't deep in debt. But because of that, when that time came, because see, this is all in God. See, when I talked about, but we were married, we're united, we're one. In a way, he was working through her on clearing up. Because one of the biggest things that'll keep somebody going or stepping, I believe, into what I did, it's going to be debts and finances. Because when I came into this, I didn't expect Pastor to give me anything. It's like, we'll just make it. But my wife was clearing out these things and clearing out these things for years. And we got down to when I walked away. I don't know, what was it? House payment and insurance. Huh? Insurance, three things. We had no consumer debt, nothing on charge cards. And so all of a sudden these things began to open up. And so at this point in time, I've said this many times before, and God is a blessing. I'm going to say, we, at this point in our life, we are totally debt-free. We owe nothing to nobody. But God. Because I know to serve God, the more that you don't have to worry about the payment to the man, now debt-free, we still have taxes, right? Property taxes. Oh, well, God will provide, and he takes care of all these things. But I'm going to say, God, in the preparation of going into the promised land, he was preparing us. And, you know, I could have looked and said, oh, the debts are so high. You know, oh, look at this. But it's so good to serve God because he's a blessing. But, oh, look what the world. And so when we left that, yes, it took a while, but we put a strategy in place to say we will have the house paid off in this and that and that and this. God blessed us to get the house we had from way back from a pastor that used to be a pastor, built houses. When we got to the point where we were renting and our rent went from like, when we first moved here, it was like 500, 400, huh? 395. We hadn't had a rent increase for how many years? And one time, I said to Dean, after like 3 years or whatever it was, 4 years, I said, they've not raised the rent. I said, oh boy, it's going to be a doozy. We get a notice that it was going to go from 395 to what? 500. 500. Dean and me look at each other going, wow. Now, unless I'm still working, okay? That's not. So this is working with Walmart and all that. But still, she was a stay-at-home mom, three kids, four kids, now four kids. And we were making it on one salary because I said it's more important for my wife to stay at home with the kids than for her to work and slave for us to have toys. So we began to wonder, how are we going to survive that? How long, hon?
A year and a half.
A jump from 395 to 500. And see how far back that goes? So I wasn't in the wilderness per se, but we were there serving and we were in that time with God. And so these things, and God was lining. When you look back, you begin to see how God lines up stuff. When you're in the middle of it, you don't, right? You're like, it's like the forest. It's like, I don't see how this is going to work. But after you push through all that, and you start getting things pushed off to the side, you look back and you say, oh my gosh, look, back over there. God took care of that back then. And 5 years ago, he was preparing for us. 10 years ago. So anyway, God is good. And I'm just wanting to encourage you, and we'll get into the glory, but we want to let you know that, you know, when God has got a mission for you, and we all have a mission from God, just reach out and grab it and say, okay, God, here we go. Don't be foolish. Know that it's God. Make sure you got all your ducks lined up. Because you don't want to jump out into the things of God and then fail. And people go because those 10 people that said, see, told you. I told you it wasn't going to work. And my thing with God is that, Lord, I'm telling people that you've done this, you've prepared us, you spoke to me. If I fail, I don't want to hurt you. And if I'm wrong, set me back on the path that I need to be. Because I love my God. And when I'm out proclaiming him, in his faithfulness and his direction in lives, careers, in serving, in doing whatever, you got to have a good record of that. I guess, I don't think I ever went out to that point to say, God, did you send us out this far 3 years into this to fail? I might have said after 3 months into it, Lord, what was wrong with me? And I've said this before. 3 or 4 months into it, I was sitting at home. Dean was then had a job. Everything began to open. She got it. Everything was just starting up. That very same scriptures in Jeremiah came open on an open email that I got from a ministry level that I had for daily devotionals. That very morning when I'm sitting there before I go and I'm just contemplating that I messed up. Or did I? Did I hear you right? Where do we do what? Kind of like some of these. When that thing opened up, and the very first thing on that said that, for I know the plans that I have. I said, oh, glory to God. He's confirming it again. He brought it before my eyes 3 months or whatever the time period. He brought it before me again. And I think that was that saying that, I gotcha. It's where you're to be. It's going to be okay. Trust and obey, for there's no other way. And to be happy with Jesus, but to trust and obey. Father, we love you, and we thank you, and we praise you, and give you all the glory. Lord, I just pray that what was shared today, especially with the wilderness and how the differences and how people look at different aspects of it, Lord, we find those that are positive and those that are negative, naysayers and all these things, Lord. But the most important thing is to say, what does my God say? And what you say, I say. Remember that, huh? Well, he say, I say. And if he's going to take care of me, provide for me, Help me be, whatever that is, successful, whatever, Lord. I'm all in because you're my God and you don't lie. You're a faithful and a true God. I ask you to bless these people here today. Encourage them in their walk. And I pray that you will just elevate them where they need to see that elevation of what you have for them. And the preparations of the things that, Lord, we all, no matter what our ages are here today, we all have a future in the weeks and months and years ahead, Lord. For we are not finished with you. And by no means, Lord, are you finished with us. And Lord, may we continue to follow this path, to honor you, to serve you, to glorify you. I love you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Go with us, I pray. In Jesus' precious name, amen.